Well, I appreciate you making some time for us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I have to ask, would we be even having this conversation were it not for Big Julie?
Big Julie, my mom. Well, I wouldn't be born if it weren't for my mother. Yes. So why do you say that?
Well, because she seemed like such a remarkable woman from reading your book.
Oh, you read my book. Yeah, Big Julie. We had a lot of adventures.
Well, you have continued to have adventures and a couple of very important honors that have come your way of late. First of all, the UN Agents of Change Award presented to the William Holden Wildlife Foundation. What a tremendous honor and a recognition of the work you and others have done for decades.
Well, I was really thrilled and very flattered to be participating in this. It actually is an e-book that was presented at this luncheon. The e-book is available for free for everyone to find it when you look for Agents of Change or Vision for the Future. And it highlights the work of 26 organizations, ours of which is one of them. And I believe we're the only one dealing with flora and fauna. So it was really a great honor to be included in this company, because they're all astonishingly dedicated people who have been doing work unheralded for many, many years, as have we.
Well, if we could, I would love to go back to almost the beginning. You went to Hollywood High School, and you were a dancer before you were an actor.
Yes, I began dancing as a child in a ballet company. And as I grew up, I didn't meet the height requirements of ballet dancers at the time. So I started studying at the American School of Dance. I started studying jazz. And as such, they would post auditions for all sorts of things that would come our way. I was 15 years old or so, and I had a girlfriend who was 16 and could have a car and a driver's license. So we went to all these dance auditions. So we were tall, and I guess we moved reasonably well. And so they never really bothered to look at our faces. We were always kept till the end at all these auditions. So our parents, my mothers always laughed because then the girl with the clipboard would come around and say, "Oh my God, how old are you?" And we would stand up very tall and say, 17, you know. And that was in the days when the legal age was 21. So we were minors. And we were kicked out of every audition by an angry assistant choreographer who was upset that we had taken up the places of other dancers. But on one occasion, we both went to this audition for West Side Story, the movie. I was asked to come back. I mean, there were 100 people at this audition. It was huge. I did 16 dance auditions.
Wow.
And 3 screen tests. And then I was asked to come and get working papers and show up for rehearsals. So that was sort of the beginning. That was the opening of the door. And the end of the day, I was replaced after a couple of months of rehearsal. Because once again, you say I was a minor. I was the only minor on the production. And so I could only work so many hours. And I really wasn't that important in the cast. I was Velma, one of the jet girls. But one thing led to another, and I had met someone at the studio in the commissary who was doing a movie. He asked me to read for him. He gave me the part. The movie was a little small independent film, and it was shown around to all the studios, and it was at the twilight of the studio system, but they were still putting people under contract. So I was the biggest nobody in town. I was the hottest nobody in town. I was able to go to classes I was invited to go to acting classes at 20th Century Fox at MGM and at Columbia Pictures. The idea was that you would go to these classes with some of the contract players. You would prepare a scene. You would do that scene for the casting department. If they liked it, they would order a screen test. And if the studio liked that, then they would offer you a 7-year contract. Well, I was late for class at Columbia. I ran through the, this is in my book, and you've read the book, so you know this story. I was running through the editing department, and I had these funny sunglasses on, and I pushed a door, which was the editing department had these doors on swivels, and I pushed it right into the face of a man who was wearing the same sunglasses that I was wearing. They had sort of bug eyes. They were plastic, very, very modern, and latest thing on the French Riviera. Well, in those days, the latest thing on the French Riviera would take 3 years to get to Los Angeles. So he said to me, "Where did you get those glasses?" And I said, "Well, my friend was driving in the Monte Carlo rally, and he brought them to me. Where did you get your?" And he said, "Well, I was at the Monte Carlo rally." And I said, "Oh, dear." And he said, "What do you do here?" And I said, "I'm an actress." He said, "Really? Are you any good?" And I was 16 years old, you know. I said, "Yes, of course I am." And he said, "Well, you should come up and see me. I'm making a movie here." And I said, "Well, I can't come now. I'm late for class." He said, "Well, come up to after class. I'm on the fourth floor, and my name is Blake Edwards."
I love that story. A wonderful story. And you did work with him. You worked with so many legends, John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara, and McClintock, Tallulah Bankhead, who was, safe to say, a challenge to work with at times.
Oh, yes. But, I mean, I wouldn't have traded it for a minute of it for the world. She was one of the great characters of the theater and of films.
And then it all came full circle years later when you starred on stage in Looped.
Isn't that interesting? That's the way it works in our business, I guess. I played Matthew Lombardo wrote a play called Looped. And it was about an event that actually happened, but not quite in the same way that it happened in the play, where Tallulah had to come into a recording studio and dub or loop a line of dialogue that was not clear on the screen. And the movie she was doing was a movie called Die, Die, My Darling, in which I co-starred with her. So that's the full circle you're talking about. And to actually then play Tallulah, having worked with her and then known her as a friend. Every time I was in New York, I saw Tallulah. She would say, "Oh, Patricia, darling." She always called me by my character name.
We're talking with Stephanie Powers here on Downtown. You got a big break on television. I was a young man at the time, was a big fan of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And then I met April Dancer, the girl from U.N.C.L.E., through my TV screen, and I don't know. Funny thoughts occurred to me as a young man. That April Dancer was something else to an impressionable young fellow.
Well, I'm very flattered. Thank you very much. It was interesting. You know, as I said, I was put under contract to Columbia during the twilight of the Hollywood star system. And as such, I made, I think, 17 movies under contract to them. And then they were divesting themselves of contract players. So they sold my contract to MGM Studios to do The Girl from U.N.C.L.E. And that's how that all happened. I had no choice in it. And I'm very glad I didn't have a choice in it, because I might not have done it. I'd never done television on this scale before. In those days, imagine, we did 1-hour show every 7 days, and we did 29 episodes in one season, 1 year. Talk about 14-hour days. We had 16-hour days.
You appeared on so many television series through the 60s and early 70s. And anytime I talk with somebody who worked with him, I have to ask about the experience, because he has always been one of my favorite actors. We chatted with Julie Andrews about him, and she said he might have been her favorite co-star. What was it like working with James Garner on The Rockford Files?
Well, you know, I was really blessed because James Garner and Robert Wagner are sort of cut out of a similar piece of cloth. They're adorable. They're wonderful to work with. And I think the best way to explain it is to say, it's like playing in a tennis match, you know? You hit the ball, they hit it right back to you. And it's wonderful because their generosity, their humor, their generosity as performers is just not often seen.
We're celebrating the 45th anniversary of Heart to Heart, and that magic actually started when you appeared on Robert Wagner's series, It Takes a Thief. But as the Hearts, you two had some magic. Was that something you were aware of right away?
Everybody around us was aware of it right away. We were just busy working, you know? And I guess, you know, it seemed to go well. We seemed to have a rapport, but the kind of chemistry we had was really more visible from the outside than the inside.
Of course, an important part of your story is your relationship with the great William Holden, one of my favorite actors. And it sounds like from your book, such a wonderful and incredibly charming person, but a relationship that had some challenges. Can you share the story that your uncle told you when he told you what would happen if you continued in that relationship?
Well, it was very early on in our relationship, and Bill had an episode which put him through drinking, which put him in the hospital in Palm Springs. And my aunt and uncle lived in Palm Springs. And so I, you know, immediately went to them for consolation. And he was within AA. And he'd been, you know, he was still called himself an alcoholic, but he was a dry alcoholic, which he had been for 40 years. He said to me, as your uncle who loves you, I'm telling you, this man is an alcoholic, a wet alcoholic, and I would suggest you leave him before it becomes too painful. But if you decide to stay, you will possibly learn more about being a human being than you ever thought possible. Mm. And I think the latter case.
Well, absolutely. And you two seem to have so much in common, your love of travel, the love of animals that you certainly embraced. And it's such an inspirational story, though it was fraught with challenges at times. But you two, speaking of magic, certainly had that together.
Well, I'll say this. The good news is that shortly after that episode, he really did make a concentrating effort on getting straight. And he did. He fought it every day. He did, and didn't take a drink for about 7 years. And then, you know, as with alcoholics, the sun comes up, they take a drink. And it only takes one drink. So then he was in and out for the next couple of years, and he would have dry spells, but in the end, the demon rum actually got him. So he didn't win. The drink won, and that's the sad epitaph that unfortunately remains. But I hope that through what I've written in the book, it will overshadow the disease, because it is a disease. Some people win over it and some people don't.
And you were there for each other, you and Robert Wagner, because not long after the death of Bill, he had to deal with the passing of Natalie Wood, and you had your work and your time together to help you, I'm sure, deal with all of that.
Well, it was just shy of 2 weeks later. Mm. So it was right on top of one. One was on top of the other. Bill died first and then Natalie. So it was really a very dramatic period for both of us.
The relationship you two had on screen continued on stage as well. You did the wonderful play, Love Letters. It's been done so many times, but you received the Sarah Siddons Award for that performance. And I don't know if A.R. Gurney had any idea how universal that story would be.
Well, we did over 500 performances. We opened it in the West End in London. We opened it in Canada. We opened it in so everybody subsequent to that, I don't think they did as long a run with the play. We did it over a period of 5 years, and we would go out and do a tour, and then in between, you know, we'd work and do a movie or something. But we kept our working relationship going with the aid of that wonderful play. Unlike most people who did the play, and the reason the play became so popular with actors was that it was in fact about reading the letters that these two characters wrote to each other across a lifetime. Well, obviously, we got to know the letters very, very well. So, and because we're playing large houses, we didn't put our heads down and read the letters. We performed the letters out to the audience. So it was a seated performance, but it was a performance nevertheless. It wasn't just a reading. So, and when we did it, that was a slight difference from most of the couples that did it.
You did a terrific movie just a few years back, too, with Bruce Dern, the wonderful film The Artist's Wife.
Oh, well, I've known Bruce for years and years and years. He used to live in Malibu, and he was a great runner. I used to say he would run to work. He would run from Malibu to 20th Century Fox Studios in the morning. I mean, this is like 10 miles. And he was an incredible character and still is. And I adore him.
I listened to your album and doing some research, the album you did on the same page. And wow, it's terrific. And as a big Rodgers and Hart fan, loved hearing Little Girl Blue. But what a wonderful version you did of He Was Too Good to Me.
Oh, thank you. That is one of my favorite Hart songs. I call it Hart songs. It is Rodgers and Hart, but it's Lawrence Hart's lyrics. Sometime later, I did an act which was called Not One from the Heart. It was called Heart of My Heart, and H-E-A-R-T. Or H-A-R-T of my H-E-A-R-T. And it was about the lyrics and the life of Lorenz Hart. Those lyrics were poetry, but poetry of pain, so much so, because he was a gay man in a straight man society, especially because he was from a upper middle class, Upper West Side Jewish family, who absolutely would not accept the thought of him being homosexual. So it's you can hear it in some of his lyrics, and his story is that tragedy personified.
Stephanie, congratulations again on the recognition that the UN Agents of Change Award, the inclusion in this new book, Vision for the Future, focusing on individuals focused on making the world a better place. You've done that in so many ways through the years. I've been a big fan of your work for a long, long time. What a treat it is to talk with you today. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Well, thank you. And I hope that if anybody's interested in our work in East Africa, the William Holden Wildlife Foundation, which we didn't really talk about, the history of it, how it came about, and how we got our IRS status as a public charity in 1982, and our ongoing programs is available to read about on our website at www.WHWF.org. Please take a moment and see the website, and if it interests you, please contact us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Be well.
Bye. Bye-bye now.